So hi, I'm Liz Fisher and I'm the operations director here. So the way that we've developed our Georgian Christmas is along two themes. And I'm just going to talk about the Georgian Christmas, the look and feel of it and what would have happened in Georgian times. Uh-huh. So in Georgian times, the decoration would have been taken from the estate or from outside. So it was bringing the outside in. And it would have been decorated in such a way that it was quite simple, but actually lifted the room with its colour. So you would have had the greenery from the estate, you may have had some fruit and some berries and things like that.
So would
that
have been quite a lot of work then?
It would have been a lot of work that the houses would have started to collect the things probably about 3 or 4 weeks in advance, dried out and things like that. And then certain rooms were decorated in such a way for the way that the Christmas was celebrated. In Georgian times, Christmas was celebrated over 12 days. It ended on January the 6th with the 12th night celebration. Mm-hmm. So at the castle, what we've tried to do is to show how we think some of the rooms would have been decorated in Georgian times. So if people come to the castle this weekend and any other weekend from a Friday, Saturday, Sunday leading up to December the 21st, what we'll see in the chapel and in the rooms leading to the long dining room is some floral displays which consist of greenery from the estate, and we're trying to display how the castle would have looked in Georgian times. There was no Christmas trees in Georgian times, there was no Christmas cards, there was no tinsel, so we've really focused on the greenery and how it would have made the rooms look and smell spectacular.
I was going to say, it's quite weird imagining Christmas without a Christmas tree. You wouldn't think it would have not had one.
Absolutely, but the smells of some of the dried fruit mm-hmm. and the smells of some of the greenery that comes in from the estate is really quite overpowering in some of our rooms. So the chapel we've decorated in such a way that we still see the beauty of the chapel, but some of the greenery around the altar and things like that really lift it and give that spirit of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then as we go through the castle into the long dining room, our volunteers have been working on some of the stories of the prince bishops of that time.
Okay, so we're also joined today
by Lydia Nicholson. I'm a volunteer guide here and whatever else they want me to do. So really what we've done is we've got 9 bishops from the Georgian period, or you know how long that spanned. So starting off with Nathaniel Lord Crewe. Now, as we don't know that exactly what our bishops did, we know that they did entertain, but mm-hmm. we've just got the whole feel of a Georgian Christmas and put our little bit of a spin on it and poked a little bit of fun at our bishops, because we're allowed to do that. And basically, as Liz said, the servants would have been a big part of that. So they would have been able to pick this king and queen of the bean. They would have ruled the whole thing. They would have turned tables on the lord and lady of the manor, if you like, okay. and been able to say, well, you do this and you do that. So that was a turntable for them. And another important character would have been the actual pastry chef, because the cake was the thing. This would have been planned and so elaborate. The bigger the house, the bigger the cake. Could have been 8 foot in height.
Wow. That's not
everyone says ours is big, but believe you me, it could be bigger. So really, what they would do is, the people would get so excited about this cake, because they would go to the bakers and look in the window and press the nose at the window and, you know, and say, oh, Lord and Lady so-and-so, mm-hmm. look at their cake, it's fabulous. And also, the Lord and Lady would be sending their spies down, seeing what the other manor houses would be doing.
So it's an element of competition, and that really is a link with today's Christmas, isn't it? The Christmas cake, the centrepiece.
Exactly.
So we can really, you know, forget about the Christmas tree, that came later. What we're looking at today is the Christmas cake, the idea of celebrating midwinter, having a bit of fun, as you say, poking fun at people you love, and turning it on its head a little bit.
Well, they would play party games, and what they would do is that we read something about Jane Austen. They would be given, our cards are in a different theme. Ours is trying to tell people so they can pick a card and say, right, that's Bishop so-and-so, we'll tell you a little bit about him. So they get the history of the castle as well as the period of the time.
I should say the cards that Lydia are talking about, they're spread out before us on the table, and I've taken a photo, we'll put it on Facebook, and it really helps anyone who's been to the castle and has some sort of idea about the Prince Bishops. It really puts faces to these names, yes, and it helps create a picture of the people, and it is the people who created this amazing building, and they're who we're trying to stay in touch with, aren't we, through this experience.
Yeah, exactly. But they would play games and they would be given a character, and they had to keep in character. So at one point,
really,
apparently Jane Austen was called Mrs. Candor. So she had to be totally
truthful
to whoever she said. So that gives you an idea of what the games they did, because this was the very biggest last party of the season. They just totally went wild, danced till whatever, probably 9-10 courses of meals. I don't know how they danced after that.
Maybe that's why they danced.
Well, they would actually bring their own slippers as well in a little bag.
Oh, wow.
So because you'd been coming down the drive, the men would have like walking boots and stuff on. So you had to have something to dance in.
Of course.
And we're trying to tell people a little bit about that, but also mostly about our history and also a little bit about our bishops. I'm pointing to the cards now. I know you can't see me. So what we've done, we've characterised these bishops, and each one were sort of famous, if you like, for something.
Oh, yeah, I can
and
see a pineapple on this
so
one.
So Bishop Trevor, now he brought grapes and pineapples here, which is what we're going to try and bring back to our walled garden, a pinery and a vinery. So he's got that and the grapes in his hand and at his feet. Bishop Butler, he is burning his papers. He was burnt all his papers on his death. A lot of Georgians did that, but
okay.
So we've made him a little bit secretive there. Why did he do that?
What do you have to hide?
Chandler, he's got money in his hand. He bought his way into being a bishop.
Okay.
A lot of them did, mind. And then Bishop Talbot, he gambled quite a lot.
So
that's his symbol. Now, Bishop Crewe, I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I think he looks like the spiv off Dad's army. he gave us our lovely organ in the chapel,
oh, wow,
the Father Schmidt organ. The black keys are white and the white keys are black.
Fantastic.
Sounds exactly the same. And so on all the way through. All of these symbols are all around the cake when you see it, which is what the big house would do. The symbols would be relevant to that house.
Okay.
These are relevant to our house.
So can I ask, what kind of cake would they make then? What kind of cake?
It would have been a lavish fruit cake.
So very similar.
Very simple, yeah, but even more rich. But they used different ingredients. For example, the mince pies wouldn't have been sweet mince. They were made of lamb.
Which is why they were called mince pies.
Mince pies, yeah. So, but we've done a different take on that, haven't we, Liz?
Okay.
So, you know, it was totally about excess of the end of the season, but also showing off your house with all this lovely, lavish decoration, which you're going to see through our house and our lavish cake that we've had made as well. So
maybe give people some inspiration for decorating their own houses.
Well, we've had that already. Everyone saying, I would love that. I'm going to have that idea.
There was somebody came from Cumbria on Friday who has a Georgian house, and they came to see how we decorated our Georgian house.
Oh, that
and
must
we're going
be
to take
amazing.
Some of their ideas back.
Okay, so when can people actually come and see this?
So the castle's open today. It's Sunday, the 22nd of November, and we're open from 10:30 until 4. It costs £4 per adult, and children are free. And we're open Friday, Saturday and Sunday now, every weekend, until the 21st of December.
So you will be able to see everything until the 21st?
People will be able to see everything until the 21st. We have a carol service this afternoon, and a church service at 4 o'clock, and we've got other little events like that through from now until Christmas as well. We plan to reopen on around about February the 15th for the school half term, with some activities and events for families. So if people can check our website, it'll be updated with that. And from the new year, we will be looking for new volunteers to come and help and support Lydia and the team and everything that we're doing. So if people want to contact us after the new year, we'll be ready for that.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
Can I just say as well that all the decorations that you're looking at with the flowers, and especially, obviously we didn't make the cake ourselves, we had a lovely lady who was a contact of Liz's and did that, but they were done totally by volunteers, flower arrangers and that, and they've done a fantastic job.
Well, it's a credit to you all, absolutely.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.